I wanted to talk today about prayer. I think it's an important subject, and it's going to align a lot with what Kirk was saying today, especially when I get to the part about thy will be done. But, you know, prayer is an extremely important part of our walk with God. And I think today, and especially, you know, if you go to this week, I know Kirk had a bad week, but, you know, when you watch what's happening on TV, if you see what's happening in the world, you realize sometimes the only thing you can do is pray. Is get on your knees or wherever you are and just ask God for guidance. Ask God for help. Ask God to help you. But, you know, when we pray, when we think about the opportunity to pray, the opportunity to talk to the Creator God, I mean, think about that. You're talking to the God who created the universe, the Almighty God. It's a special time. I mean, can you imagine if you had that time with the President of the United States? If you had 24/7 access to him? Not that I want to talk to him. And like I said before, not that he'd understand what I was saying. Issues on his own. But we have access to the Creator God of the universe. You think about it. You could be driving down the road and you can say a little prayer. You can say, hey, God, Father, I need you. So we have that access 24/7. You know, as long as I've been in the church, I've heard messages, many messages in the past about prayer. How many minutes we should pray? I mean, actually, in the past, we had those messages. You should pray 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes a day on prayer. How we should be standing, kneeling, or wherever, but we heard messages on how we should be praying like that. You know, Jesus Christ gave us some instructions on where to pray. You know, he said that we should go into our room and not say our personal prayers on the street or in a crowd. Again, with the idea of just to be noticed, just to be considered humble. And then he gives us some instructions on how we pray. And I want to talk today about that. I want to go over that prayer, which is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. Because most of the time when I pray, especially when I'm having difficulty sometimes, and we all do, at times finding the right words to say, if you go back to that model, it gives you an outline of how to pray. So if you turn with me to Matthew 6, please, Matthew 6, verse 5. And I'll start reading because I know I gave this as a sermon and I know we have a shorter time today. So, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. For in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we have an outline. He says, the disciples said, how do we pray? He says, this is how to pray. And we have that same outline today. You know, I'll just read John 14, 13 to 14. He says, and whenever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he's given us instructions on how to pray. He says, pray in my name. And in 1 John 5, 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's the key, and that's what Kirk was saying this morning, or this morning, time flies, in the first message, but he was saying about God's will. We're going to get into that. But I want to start with this prayer. I just want to go through it, each area, starting with our Father in heaven. You know, we start off the prayer, we start off by addressing God the Father. We're praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want to turn to John 16, John 16, verse 23 to 24. John 16, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So Christ is continually instructing his servants, his disciples, how to pray. And this may seem like an easy thing to do. But you know, there are some who have a difficult time picturing God as a loving father. A father they can talk to, a father that will listen to them. You know, some do not have a good relationship with their father for one reason or another. Some have had abusive, some have had mean fathers, or fathers that have done terrible things. And it's hard when you're on your knees or when you're praying to ask God the Father to take care of you. You know, I had a father, obviously. He died when I was young. You know, I never had a great relationship with my father. I didn't spend a lot of time with him. We were different people. We did different things. And I did not really know him very well, even though we lived in the same house. It was just different. You know, when I was a young adult, and I was, I guess, really learning more about God, learning more about how to pray, I had a difficult time with that concept of a father in heaven, someone in heaven that would look down and take care of me when I needed it, when I wanted it. So I know there's a lot of people that go through that, and it's a hard concept sometimes. I've known people that have had terrible relationships with their father or don't have a father. So it's a hard concept sometimes, and sometimes we can take that for granted. But as I became a father, I started to see what and understand what a father is, and I began to better see my Father in heaven, who is someone who cares, who loves us, who takes care of us despite sometimes who we are. He sees the good in us even when we may not see that good. You know, a good father will do that for a child. A good father will look at their children. They may be going through difficult times, but you always love that child. You always want to take care of that child. And that's what our Father in heaven does. And I think if we get that concept in our minds, get that concept in our head, there's a Father who loves us more than any physical father can. You know, when we read the Old Testament, we see that love of God. We see that, we know that the God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ, but we see that they had that love of God. I mean, that love of a father. Israel disobeyed time and time and time again. I'm not sure God at once, I just wanted to smack him. Wake up. Get real. Obey me. And they would go off, they would take other gods, they just did horrible things to their father. But we know what happened. God constantly brought them back. God constantly allowed them back into his grace. And that's who the Father that we serve today. And that's that loving Father. So when we are praying, that's the Father. When we're on our knees, we're saying to that God, Father, Dad, help me. If you read Luke 11, 5 to 13, I'll just read this. Luke 11, 5 to 13. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me in his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot rise to give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, when you read that, if you have a friend that's coming to your house, and let's say everyone's in bed, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, they might be knocking on the door. Eventually, especially for the friend, we're going to get up and we're going to help that person. We get a text in the middle of the night, we may not be happy about it, but we're going to try to help that person if we hear it, Andrew. We think God doesn't get tired. God is a loving Father. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be there listening and helping us anytime that we need it. A loving God will take care of his children. He knows our needs before we even ask of them. We can take heart no matter what our situation is with our human father. We have a loving Father in heaven that we can go to any time to confide to cry to if you need to just be there for us. It's an awesome blessing. It's just a wonderful way to start off our prayers. The next part of that prayer is, hallowed be your name. As we're beginning our prayers, we recognize God as our Father, but we recognize God as being holy and righteous. He's special. He's set apart. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's the great creator, the great sustainer of this universe. He is all that is good. He is all that is right. We recognize the greatness of God. We recognize his authority, his power, his glory. We recognize as we're coming to him in prayer that he is the Almighty God. He knows our thoughts. He knows our mind. He knows our thinking. And this same Father called us into a relationship with his Son. So we know we can read John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. This is the Father we're praying to every day. This Father who wants us to be a part of his kingdom, a part of his family. You know, my children or my grandchildren can come to me and they can ask me for things. And I can give them what I can physically. I can love them. I can care for them. God can give us eternal life. God can heal the sick. God can raise the dead. It's an amazing God that we have. 1 John 3. I'm going to read this one out of the NIV. See what great love, 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we start our prayers by recognizing that God, again, is our loving Father. He is the eternal living creator. He is the maker of all that we know. It is amazing that this God has even given us permission to talk to him. I mean, think about it. There's 7.5 billion people on this earth. He knows each one of them, each one of us. But when we pray, he takes time and he listens. It's amazing. We should be in awe when we pray to this God. Next, we pray, your kingdom come. We next ask God to have his kingdom come to this earth. Because that's why we're here. That's our purpose in life, is to live this way of life, to walk this walk, to be a living example of this way of life, and to seek God's kingdom. So at the beginning, at the front of our prayers, we're reminded, as we're talking to God, I want everything, like we talked with the expectations. We have these expectations, but God says, I know your expectations, but hold on. My kingdom reigns first. So we have to have that mindset. Let's ask and focus on, we want that kingdom to come. We pray for that kingdom to come into fruition. We know Matthew 6:33, it's memory scripture. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We know that every day. We know that thought process. Our whole process needs to be, and when we're praying, when we're getting before God, before we ask for anything, we have to ask God to continue your plan. Have your kingdom come. And of course, with that kingdom comes the return of Jesus Christ and the banishment of Satan. So it's no small thing that we ask for. We're asking at that time, at the beginning of our prayer, we're asking for God to change the whole world. You know, we talk about a new world order. There is a new world order coming. And that's the kingdom we're praying for. We're asking for the society that we live in today be gone, and that a new world be put in its place. We're asking for a new government. We're asking for new leadership. We're asking for the nations of the earth to know the nations of the earth that we know today to be gone. And they will be gone, eliminated, and a new world be raised up. This is what we're asking for when we pray, your kingdom come. We're asking God to fulfill his plan, no matter what. You know, sometimes we pray, we're thinking, oh boy, it's been a bad week. I've done some bad things, maybe. Maybe I'm not ready, but I want that kingdom to still come, because the rest of the world needs that kingdom. That needs to be our focus. No matter what or who we are or what we've done, we got to continue to ask the God to bring that kingdom. Everything we do points to that kingdom. You know, Jesus pointed to the kingdom, and we can read in Mark 1:14-15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We are praying as we start our prayers. We're praying for the fulfillment of that kingdom. Again, after recognizing who we are praying to, we put first things first. We focus on God's plan, on God's kingdom. We understand, as we're praying, how much this world needs God's kingdom to come. As we start our prayers, we ask God to continue to work out his plan. We ask him to help us, each one of us, to be ready for the return of Christ. We ask him to help us, to guide us, to direct us through his Holy Spirit so that we can be a part of that wonderful kingdom, his government, his world forever. If we go back to Christ, the disciples, how do we pray? He's saying, I have these, right now we're at point number 3, basically. He says, I want you to focus. I want you to focus on that kingdom. Every day when you pray, focus on that kingdom. The next part will be, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this ties directly into what Kirk Talbot was saying today. We then ask for God's will to be done. His will to be done. Not our will. And that could be the hard part. And I have the same scripture that Kirk read in Matthew 26:39. When Jesus was, and the disciples, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went and he got on his knees and he prayed 3 times. That same prayer. And he said, Father, if there's a way to get out of this, let me out of it. Unless it goes against your will. Probably just better read it. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was facing imminent death. He was facing a terrible crucifixion, pain, sorrow, suffering. He was in agony, but he knew what had to be done. God the Father's will had to be done. You know, we pray God's will be done because we know he is the all-powerful God in heaven. He knows us better than we know ourselves. His will is perfect, and it aligns with His perfect plan. You know, when we pray, or at least I'll just blame myself, when I pray sometimes, I think I'm always praying Your will be done. At least sometimes I say those words. And I've done this often. Your will be done, God. But I'm kind of hoping it's My will be done. I'm hoping that God's will aligns with my will, even if that's not what His will was in the first place. Because we all want our will to be done. That's where we, you know, we pray. I was recently praying about a situation, and during my prayers, I kept saying the words, Your will be done. I talked to my wife about this, but I was praying what I thought was best for the family and the individual vowed. I was praying, have Your will be done, but I really want it to be this. And I was like giving Him arguments why this will would be better, forgetting that He is God. You know, I pray many times for a long list of those who are sick. And, you know, there's a lot sick. A lot of people who are sick. A lot of people who are going through things. And I'll pray this list and I'll remember, oh, you know, by the way, Your will be done. And, you know, I forget that everything has to be aligned with God's will. You know, I've learned over the years to pray that whatever the outcome of the situation is, that I can understand it. That I can abide by it, that I can trust it to know that it's right, that it's God's will, that I accept that will. You know, we've all prayed for people that we've loved and we've lost them for whatever reason. We've prayed for people that we've loved and they've been healed for whatever reason. And I think when we pray God's will be done, we have to understand that sometimes His will may be not now, not today. You'll see that person again in the resurrection. And it's hard sometimes to understand that. And I've been praying hard. I mean, I try to pray hard lately, especially when I know as we get older and we have more friends that become older and we go through more things. I pray that I understand, that I can submit to His will. You know, Jesus prayed that same prayer 3 times in the garden. 3 times, Your will be done. And He knew the outcome was going to be. Praying for God's will is like sometimes it takes us out of the equation. We know that God knows what we want, especially when praying for the health of a loved one. He knows we want that person healed, but sometimes the answer, like I said, is not yet. You know, we can get upset, and sometimes we get angry because we don't understand God's will at times. But the bottom line is His decision and His will. You know, one day, and I believe this wholeheartedly, we're going to find out why things happened. I think God is merciful enough because we have questions. Why someone died at a certain time. Why a child died at a certain time. And I think God's going to say, this is why. This is My will. I don't think God just does things happenstance. I don't believe that at all. He has a will and He has a reason for what He does. And I think one day He's going to share that with us and we're going to go, I'm glad you were in charge. I'm glad you knew what you were doing. God has a plan for all people. He's going to change this world and set up His kingdom. His will be done if we're aligned with it or not. I think we have to understand that. His will is going to be done. His will is being done every day. He's going to set up His kingdom. He's going to set up His family. He's going to send Jesus Christ back to this earth, whether we're aligned with it or not. The next part is, give us today our daily bread. This is the time, again, going to be more personal for me. This is the time when I like to thank God for all that He's done in our lives, for taking care of us, for providing for us. I use it as a good time to thank God for our loved ones, our homes, our country, the food we eat, anything and everything. It's a time to be thankful. Because we know that God provides that bread, but He provides everything for us. He takes care of us. You know, we can read Matthew 6, 25, 26. If you want to turn there, Matthew 6, 25, 26. I'm going to read it. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You know, even though we've read a couple times, God knows what we need. God is aware of our needs. He just still wants us to ask. We're instructed to ask. You know, how much time do we waste? I'm going to pick on Kirk. But you think about Tuesday, how much time do we waste worrying? And we all go through that. We spend a whole day worrying about things. I know I used to, my former employer, I'd have these meetings and go, okay, we're going to meet Monday at 2 o'clock and we're going to go over X, Y, Z, usually my numbers or something like that. And I would worry all weekend. I think, oh, man, I hate this. Shara would say, it's going to be all right. I said, you know, you don't understand, blah, 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 blah. The meeting would come and she's, how? I said, it wasn't bad at all. It's like I worried. I'd give up a weekend and I would just worry and worry and worry. And knowing God's in charge, I can't worry about it. During this time when we're praying, give us today our daily bread. That's what I use that time to thank God for everything that He gives us. All the blessings that He gives us. You know, He takes care of us. He knows us like the birds of the air. You know, when I'm walking, I like to pray when I walk in our neighborhood. And I come to this part and I see the squirrels and I see the birds and I see the bees. And I just think, God's taking care of them. He's certainly going to take care of me. And I used to look at this part as just asking God for our physical needs, thanking Him for providing everything for us. But I do think there is more in that. Because I also like to focus on the fact that give us today our daily bread, that Jesus Christ was also the bread of life. And I like to take that time to thank God for Christ, thank God for the fact that we have the bread of life, the word of God still available, that we live in a country that we can still worship on Saturdays. We can study and read the Bible. We can discuss the Bible openly. So I thank God that we have that, and I thank God for Jesus Christ. In John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We have access. We have that true bread, the only bread we'll ever need. And we can thank God for that spiritual bread and the physical bread He gives us. I'd like to take the time to thanking God for sending Jesus Christ. You know, we pray to God the Father, but Jesus Christ is up there listening. He's right there. In fact, in Romans 8:31-34, I'll read, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore has also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Jesus is up there. Satan's accusing. Jesus is up there making intercession for us. When we pray, I believe he's up there. He's making intercession for us as well. He understands. He was a human being. And he suffered the same things, some of the same things that we suffer. The next part of the prayer is, forgive us our debts, which is an easy part because we want God to forgive us. But it says, as we forgive our debtors. So we're asking God to forgive us, and God says, yeah, but you also need to forgive other people. That can be the hard part. Matthew 6:14-15, for if you, this is the, after the part of that prayer, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is a strong statement. That's a huge statement. We ask God to forgive us. We are also supposed to be forgiving to others who have done us wrong. This is the time to go to God and ask for His forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings. And we all have them. We've all sinned. We've had the past. We have what we do now. I mean, Kurt, you know, this weekend it was ridiculous. Sorry. No, but we have to ask God for forgiveness to help us. It is a blessing to know that we have a Savior who died for our sins. And if and when we slip up, we can go to God and ask for his forgiveness. And we know. We know, and every day, if we say these prayers, we know God is a forgiving God. He's a patient God. So we can be forgiven every day of our sins. But he did put a caveat thought in there. He said, we are to forgive others as well when you forgive them, when we forgive others as well. God wants us to love and forgive others as he loves and forgives us. God has forgiven us of all of our sins. Great sins, our past. He sent his son to die for us, for our sins. He has given us a new life. You know, if you can turn, you can follow this. Yeah, I didn't write this down again. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. It's listed at least twice. So it's in Luke, I think, or Matthew. I can read it. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times? That was the Jewish custom. Am I just supposed to forgive him seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, owed him in a tremendous amount. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you off. He cried before this master, Forgive me for my debt. The master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. And you think, well, this guy's life has turned around. Everything's good. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is just a fraction of what he owed the other master. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Not very forgiving. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. You know, we can read that, and I've read it many, many times. We have to understand, you know, what that means. God has forgiven us. You know, each one of us has a past. We came to the church. We were baptized. We asked God to forgive us, to cleanse us, to wash us. You know, like Danny Brady. I'm not saying Danny Brady had a bad past. But Danny went in that water, and it came up, he was clean. His past was forgiven. Whatever Danny had done, God says if Danny had repented, he was forgiven of his sins. He's forgiven of his past. And each one of us has had that, no matter what our past was. If we've asked God to forgive us, we've been forgiven. And then we've all had that. So when someone comes up and they sin against us, or they do something wrong against us, and we don't forgive them, God can be like that other, you know, that other master, and he just won't make God happy. We have to have the same heart and the compassion of Jesus Christ and of God the Father when we think about other people. We have to have the heart of forgiveness, just as the Father in heaven has. Our next step in the prayer is, do not lead us into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So James is telling us God does not lead us in a temptation. We can lead ourselves in a temptation. That part of the prayer is we ask God to help us walk the walk, to walk cleanly, to stay away from evil. You know, if you have a drinking problem, don't drive home past a bar every night. Just don't do it. If you had other problems, stay away from things that can get you into trouble if you have weaknesses in those ways. We're asking God to help us to stay close to him, to stay away from the evil one, to stay away from Satan and his influence. And if there's things that really, we use the word to people today, trigger you, we need to stay away from those things that trigger us, that cause us to sin. This is important as we wrap up our prayers, as we ask God to keep us from this world, to keep us from Satan. Because it's amazing, and I know, you know, we've always talked about pre-Passover trials, pre-feast trials. Satan is active, and he's out there. And he knows as we go away to the Feast of Tabernacles, if we celebrate God's holy days, we're talking about his demise. And he gets angry, and it just seems like we're having a lot of those now. So we have to really ask God during this time to keep us away from that evil one. Keep us away from those trials. This would be a time to reflect on Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. Ask God for that armor. The next point is, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And as I said last time, this is not included in some of the later translations of the Bible. It was in the earlier ones. But it is good to talk of the kingdom and the glory of God as you finish your prayers. Put it back around. We started with the kingdom. We started about God's grace, God's glory. And it's good to end your prayers in that way. For me personally, I usually go through this motto or some form of this motto. I then conclude my prayers by praying for family, friends, and those I've heard that need prayers. And this list can be long, but I think it's important to pray for others. You know, I think about Dr. Ross was saying how, you know, he thanked you for the prayers, you know, that they're going through the COVID. And I remember, you know, last year around this time at the Feast of Tabernacles, I had that foot infection. Went to the feast, came back, still wasn't better. And I finally asked Dr. Ross, could you just ask people to pray? And it is amazing. Within like a week, it was so much better. And I could feel the power of that prayer. And that's important when people ask us, you know, sometimes the list can be long, but, and I've heard other people say this, I read, you know, people's comments, they feel the power of prayer. They feel that when people have been praying for them. And it's a great thing. So I think if that's a part of our prayers that we should be doing, that is asking God, asking the brethren to pray for us. And then we should be doing the same thing to other people. I know it works. You know, I think I mentioned this last time with Katie when she was pregnant with Jackson. She prayed, and she told me this later. She goes, "I pray that little Jackson would be full of joy. He'd be joy wherever he went." And if you know Jackson, he pretty much is. And I told her, I said, "Well, I prayed the same way for my grandson, that, you know, Charlie would be full of joy." And he is. And I'm praying that one for the next one. And I'll pray that for everyone, that they're that full of joy. It's just amazing by these little things, God listens. God is a father, and he listens, and he takes heart. Prayer is a great time to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Jesus gives us this model prayer to help us and to guide us when we pray. You know, there are so many things to pray about: our families, our friends, our church as a whole, our congregation. Prayer is an incredible tool to keep us in constant contact with God, the creator of the universe. You know, when I was younger, and I mentioned that before, I looked at prayer as more of an obligation. you know, I get up in the morning or before I went to bed at night, well, I better say my prayers. I remember lying there and I thought, oh, didn't say my prayers. Get out and say my, you know, it's more of a rote. I think if we understand young people, old people, and the rest of us, prayer is an opportunity to talk to the Creator. It's a time to talk about anything you want, your hopes, your dreams, how to reach your hopes and dreams. If you're looking for a mate, if you're looking for a new job, God is there. He's listening. He's helping. He wants you to talk to Him. Prayer is an opportunity. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. And I know sometimes we struggle with what to say, how to say it. The disciples, they're with Christ for 3 years plus. They struggle with it. How do we pray? How do we get this done? Jesus gave us guidelines and outline for prayer. It has helped me to keep my mind and my thoughts in the right place as I'm praying. Prayer is a good thing to study throughout the Bible. If you read it, I mean, I just wanted to touch on this, the model prayer, but there are scriptures, there are verses about we're told to be patient in our prayers, to be persistent in our prayers. There's the parable of the widow that kept knocking on the door, asking God, asking God, asking God. We're told to listen for His answer and to pray always for His will to be done. We're to have the right heart when we pray. If we have something against someone, we are to correct that before praying. Prayer is a beautiful thing that God the Father has given us. He has given us access to His throne, access to where He is, access to His mind. I mean, it's an amazing thing that when God says, you know, we have the opportunity to get down on our knees or we're walking or wherever we're doing, we have access to the eternal Creator God of this universe. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing. Have a great Sabbath.